So many of America's colleges and universities today are less concerned with critical thinking than with indoctrination. So it's no wonder that so many young Americans embrace cancel culture or deny free speech to conservatives and celebrate terrorism. I'm happy to report that there is an American college where students debate ideas openly and honestly, where they pursue truth together with their professors, and where America's great heritage of liberty is studied and revered, Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College continues its original mission of offering the kind of serious liberal arts education needed to preserve the blessings of civil and religious liberty across the land. At Hillsdale College, students grow in heart and mind by studying timeless truths in a supportive, dedicated community. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit dana4hillsdale.com. There you will find a short video showing you how Hillsdale's work is effective in defending American liberty, not only on its Michigan and Washington, D.C. campuses, but across the nation. Take some time to watch today at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
Is a U.S. war against Iran possible?
I think what we want to see more than anything, Wolf, is no widening of this conflict, no deepening of it. And we continue to send a strong message to actors in the region, including Iran, that if you're thinking about jumping in here, you're thinking about deepening and widening and escalating, don't do it. We will take our national security interests very, very seriously in the region, and we've added to the military capabilities to make sure that we can do that.
I really feel like, and I know that I am the, I'm speaking for a lot of you out there. I'm tired of saying that I know that we're being baited into war. Because it's what it is. I mean, it's ultimately, it's what it feels like because it's what it is. You're being baited into conflict. And with this, there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, the strategy and the messaging from this administration to that effect is just so incredibly weak. We're going to talk about that. I got a lot of stuff to hit today. The latest developments with this, what Iran may or may not be doing, what China may or may not be doing. We're going to get into ceasefires. We're going to get into a lot. So welcome to the program, the nationally syndicated radio show. Dana Lash here with you. Good to be with you, starting off this first hour on Tuesday. And the latest, you have this Iranian militia. Well, we've talked about the Houthi before, and apparently there's the latest reports coming from this that the Iranian-backed militias are looking to ramp up attacks against our forces in the Middle East. Well, we got a lot of firepower that's being concentrated there, but the reports coming in, I'm looking at a number of different sources saying that Iran's looking to capitalize the backlash, et cetera, et cetera. They could or could, I don't think that they're moving yet to do anything directly, just the way that I'm seeing it. I mean, I just, look, all of this, I mean, this is stupid to even debate. Just let Israel kick the hell out of Hamas and be done with it. So I don't have to spend all damn day sitting here talking about what a bunch of gutless freaks in Washington, D.C. think they are going to do or not going to do. A bunch of fat ass pencil pushing freaks who sit here and send everybody else's sons and daughters off to die in a war that they make money off of. Blank all of them to hell. Honestly, that's what it is. So why are we even sitting here in this, you know, in this stupid discussion? Why are we even having this dumb discussion? I had this conversation the other day with folks, because some people think, well, we shouldn't be sending anything over to Israel. We shouldn't be sending any kind of support, etc. I'm fine with sending munitions if it means that we don't have to send Americans to go over and do what the Arab nation is too gutless to do. All these damn oil and gas countries over there, they sit on their fat chic asses and they don't do a damn thing. You can get mad at my Portuguese for it. I don't care. There's a hell of a lot more in this world to be mad about than the adjectives I'm using to accurately describe the soulless individuals that are creating the mess. And that's the truth of it. And then you have Lebanon, Syria, shelling that's been taking place there. This is going to spread the longer that this lasts, the more it's going to spread. You realize this, right? This is one of the reasons why I think Israel is wanting to get in there and get it done. Because the longer that this takes, the longer it takes, the more you're going to see this destabilization in the region. That's just the truth of it. So yesterday I was telling you the reports were that Israel was aggravated at having to wait to get in and go and kick off the ground portion of it. Apparently, we have a three-star general there who's helping to advise on some of the urban warfare, and we've got some other folks there. Long story short, just let them do what they need to do and back off. Don't sit here and impose any kind of ROE on them. Don't impose anything. The only reason that we're in this position, well, first off, we're in this position because thank you, Jimmy Carter. I will not shed a tear when you do kick the bucket. Because, no, that's not mean. It's accurate. I'd be lying if I had anything other than absolute discourtesy on display for you. And I'm not going to lie. But it started with Jimmy Carter. But it continued because you had all of these countries of the world that refused to allow Israel to do what it needed to do. It wouldn't allow them to do what they needed to do. And as a result, they dragged it out. They made it last a hell of a lot longer. And now here's the situation. This is the situation that we're in. They made it last longer and told Israel, no, 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 you have to look at the optics of it. Everybody wanted to pay attention to the propaganda that Hamas was putting out. Look at the propaganda. Okay, well, they bought it, hook, line, and sinker, all these other countries, telling Israel, you can't react in a mean way, you can't be mean, etc. You need to act with mercy. I think they've been pretty merciful. So we're gonna dive into all of this today. I suppose I have to talk about this. I hate everybody in the house right now. There's not a single person I like. Smod, where are you? Do we have to talk about this? The ego measuring contest. I just find it so indulgent and stupid and embarrassing that as all of this stuff is ticking off, you have a bunch of Republicans fueled by Matt Gaetz' 10-head ego that are, oh, get mad at me because I have a lot more ignorant things to say about a hell of a lot more of them in there have thrown it in total disarray, total chaos. We can't get a single thing done. Everyone who says, oh, well, the spending is going to be curtailed. We need to cut spending. I have a poison pill for you, a little dose of reality. People, first off, need to learn how their government works, number one. There's no excuse. Number two, stop believing and stop worshiping politicians and believing every single thing the politician that you worship tells you. It's anti-American. I mean, that's not how this is supposed to work. We need to get this relationship in proper priority. And number three, they've spent now 22 days dealing with us, the situation of the House Speaker. And are we any closer? Who are we going to end up? We're not going to end up with Kevin Hearn. Who are we going to end up with? Does anybody know? No one's going to get the votes. Nobody's going to get the votes for this. Nobody's going to get the votes for it. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Nobody's going to, who knows? Who knows? But it's the reality of blowing this up without a plan B. So if I have to sit here and talk about at all, I'm not going to give you updates about the House race because I don't care at this point. I'm not going to give you any updates about it. I'm just not. Is that mean, Kane? Because I'm not going to do it.
Something blows up, we'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll tell you guys. If something goes off, we'll let y'all know. But otherwise, they're power jockeying. All of this is power jockeying. And you have people who are like, well, I want to make sure that, if we get these votes, I want to make sure that we're able to get my special interest or my back scratched if we're going to get, you know, such and such vote. That's all this is. They're trying to get their needs met. It's just all power jockeying. This is all there is to it. We're also going to dive into some of the free speech. Barack Obama wrote an editorial. It's hard to imagine that there's anybody remaining on the left after October 7th, but there's Barack Obama. I don't know if you saw, I tried reading it. I read maybe about half to three quarters of it, and then I just ended up hating myself for putting myself through that, and I gave up because it was so stupid. His editorial where he basically excoriates Israel and everyone calls for a two-state solution. I was listening to Anthony Blinken's speech to the United Nations just a little bit earlier, which I think is just performative seppuku participation in the UN. And he kept talking about a two-state solution. Am I the only one who's, I mean, maybe me and you guys, are we the only people who lived through this? I mean, we all have memories, right? Do we all remember every single time that Hamas, which is the elected ruling party of Gazans? Now, not every Gazan is Hamas, but Hamas represents every Gazan because that's the elected government. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So why is it that they always go back to a two-state solution when in reality they've rejected every offering of a two-state solution? Why is that? Every single time. There's been no... Every single time. So why do they keep prattling on and on and on about it? It's literally, it's in Hamas's charter to not have a two-state solution. This is stupid. None of these people are serious about peace. None of these people are serious about any of this stuff. These people are ridiculous. They don't want any of this. They don't want peace. They want chaos, and they want the continuation of conflict, because if they did not, then they would be on the, they would understand that you cannot have a terrorist entity that has worn out its welcome as much as Hamas has, continuing to do what it's done. I don't know how many decades of aggression we've seen from them, but it's been a hell of a lot. I was listening to his remarks earlier, and I was just rolling my eyes. Rolling my eyes. We need to have a two, we need to work towards two-state solution. Barack Obama said the same thing. We got to work towards a two-state solution in his editorial. I'm so tired of this. Kane, when have they ever accepted it?
That would be never.
Never. It's in. I've written about it. Apparently, none of these people have read Hamas's charter either. I've read Hamas's charter. Guess what Hamas's charter says? They don't want to live peacefully with anyone else, and that's pretty much verbatim what it says. They don't want a two-state solution. Why are you guys still going on with this? If they don't want to live in peace, they can live in pieces. The end. I saw the video of the, did you see the 80-something-year-old grandmother who was released, one of the hostages? Yeah. I'm telling you what, I was reading this story. She's just this old lady. She's 85 years old. She needed to be in a wheelchair. And some people were going, oh, look, she says that they treated her well. Look how nice that, look, she's saying that, they treated her well and they gave her soap. And look, it goes against all of the stuff that everyone was saying about Hamas. I can't believe that people are out there saying this. I mean, they still have her husband in captivity. So you tell me what you think that you're going to do. You tell me what you think you're going to say if someone still has your spouse in captivity. Are you going to go out and blow them up as the animals that they are? Or are you going to go, oh, no, they treated us nice. I mean, I did go through hell. Yes, they beat me with sticks. But they're so nice, those terrorists. They beat the hell out of that grandmother with sticks. And, you know, they held her for 12 days in captivity. And they still have her husband. And they murdered all of these other people and chopped heads off babies. And they literally cut an arm off of a mom in front of her kids and blew at dad's guts and brains all over his kids. But, hey, they're so nice, you guys. These people have no self-respect. Just lob them in. They're no different from Hamas. Them, except they have no difference in character. I was reading the comments on this. She was talking about how they beat her with sticks to the point where she had trouble breathing. Oh, but they're so nice because they gave her soap, Kane. The animals that murdered all these people and beat this 86-year-old with sticks, they gave her some soap. That just absolves them of all the murders and terrorism. Wow. Is that all it takes to buy these dumbass progressives off? Hey, look, I gave her some soap, guys. Oh, my gosh. They gave her some soap.
But you beat her.
Yeah, but they gave her soap, Kane. That takes away all the bruises. Wash the bruises away with Hamas soap. Morons. I was thinking to myself, I don't know if as I get older, I hate more things and people, or as the world wears on me. Because my cynicism from now till a year ago is much greater. Not much has changed, from now till a year in the past. But my cynicism is a heck of a lot greater. And I was just thinking about this. I'm like, it's the world. It's not me. It's everybody else. It's the terrorism. It's all the progressives that just like that go out and make excuses for this stuff. I keep saying we live in clarifying times because we do. I'm just shocked at the number of dumb people that we exist on this rock with. I was reading that she was hit on, they beat her with sticks all the way until they got to the tunnels. They took her into Gaza through those web of tunnels. Oh, but they gave her soap, guys. So coming up, this is what we're gonna get into. There's a cost to Hamas's nonstop aggression. And ceasefires are things that are called for by self-indulgent, sheltered people who live oceans away in total security. So we're going to discuss all of this stuff. We're also going to discuss the consequence of you all know that I have several Kel-Tec firearms that I love, but the PMR-30 is perhaps my favorite great all-around reliable Kel-Tec. And for those of you who might be recoil shy, the PMR-30 is great for personal or home defense, but it's also really recreationally. It's lightweight, accuracy, and 30-round, 22 magnum capacity make it perfect for hiking, backpacking, camping, boating, and an all-out fun range day plinking. Right out of the box, the PMR-30 offers excellent target acquisition with its high-vis fiber optic front and rear sites. If you want a recreational carbine, the CMR-30 is the PMR-30's big brother and accepts the same 30-round 22 Magnum magazines with the ballistic advantage. Visit KeltechWeapons.com to learn more about the PMR-30. And while they are, sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider to stay up to date and follow them on social media. Go to KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltechWeapons.com. Kel-Tec, 30 years of innovation to help secure your world. Visit KeltechWeapons.com today. KeltechWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so coming up, a store lets customers steal shoes if they could outrun a professional sprinter. I mean, this is what needs to happen, like, in regular day-to-day life. So this is, I'm joking. It's a Paris running store. So a customer stopped in front of a security guard and asked to take a selfie with him, and when the security guard was distracted, the customer's friend grabbed a hat from a nearby table, sprinted out of the store. Security guard chased after. The person who wrote the story doesn't know how to not bury the lead. Long story short, they said if you can steal the shoes and outrun the professional sprinter that works there, then you can have them. Let's see. Air on Mars may be breathable thanks to new desert-dwelling bacteria paint. I don't know what I think about this. This is from The Sun. Humans may one day be able to breathe air on Mars. Maybe we can send all the people that we don't like there. Like people who protest for Hamas, or, you know, people who just, you know, believe that they should not have to pay taxes, but everybody else should. Ancient crystals suggest that the moon is 40 million years older than thought. Okay.
Ancient crystal?
From what? Ancient crystal sounds like somebody's great grandmom. Like from the town where my family lives. Ancient crystal. They said that the moon's surface, this is what an ancient crystal embedded in a rock collected by Apollo 17 astronauts. They said that scientists have mostly agreed on the basic gist of the moon's origin story. But a Mars object called, size object called Theia, slammed into a nascent, I don't care about any of this. Some damn crystals say that it's old. There you go. Nobody cares. You know why? Because we're going to descend into World War III and everything's going to be exploded by nukes. How about that? We don't deserve dogs. This is going to make you feel so much better. A teenager was having a stroke and his dog helped him, said the doctor. This teenager, he was actually in the middle of having a stroke, and their one-year-old border collie was very energetic, was kept trying to alert the parents. And then they finally figured out that something was happening with their 17-year-old. The dog was clawing at the door. He was barking. He was like whimpering, because dogs are amazing. A lot more on the way. Stick with us. Hi, folks. This is Dana Lash for the Headrest Safe, a pioneering innovation in automotive security. The Headrest Safe company embarked on this journey in 2022, revolutionizing vehicle safety. It all started with a father's concern after the birth of his daughter and the dissatisfaction with his own truck's gun box, which ignited the creation of the Headrest Safe. But it's not just for firearms. It provides invisible security for all of your valuables. The Headrest Safe is strategically placed on the passenger side headrest facing the driver, and accessing your items is a breeze, with a magnetic door opening in just 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. Seamless integration into your vehicle's interior is remarkable. I've witnessed it myself, and it blends in seamlessly. The Headrest Safe caters to anyone seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. Experience this innovation at headrestsafe.com and use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's headrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Speaking of the Americans in Gaza, some are being told that by the State Department, by the administration, to go to the border. We were told on Saturday they were told to go to the border, but they obviously could not leave. Are you still advising Americans to go to the border? You know, what's the hold up there?
You have to talk to the State Department. I can't speak for the communication that they're having with American citizens there. What I can tell you is that we are working this very, very hard to get them out of Gaza again through Rafah. And Ambassador Satterfield literally is working this as you and I are speaking right now. And so we obviously, if we want to get them out, we want to have them available as close by as possible so that that can be affected in a very efficient way. But as for what specific messages the State Department is sending today and Monday, you'd have to talk to them.
Yeah, you're going to have to start weird because we don't know. We have no idea what's happening. Welcome back to the show, Dana. It's John Kirby. That's not me. Welcome back to the show. As I said, you can listen coast to coast, stream the radio program, watch the simulcast as well, YouTube, Facebook, 347 DirecTV. The words that he's saying here make, I don't think it gives anybody any comfort or gives them any additional insight. Here's, folks, I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in this administration. You know, this administration was bad-mouthed by the last Democrat administration. So really don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to do anything. But the constant calls for ceasefire, though, no. This was Biden yesterday, and this is when he had to leave the middle of the press conference to go to the Situation Room because there were reports of like shelling of our assets in Syria, U.S. bases in Syria. Listen to this. This was weird. Audio soundbite 2.
Is the U.S. supporting hostages for a ceasefire deal?
Why did you
stop?
We should have a ceasefire. Not a ceasefire. We should have a hostage relief.
Has there been any progress on that process?
I'm so confused. So he says we should have a ceasefire, not a ceasefire. We should have those hostages released and then we can talk. So what bothers me about this is that I feel like that is something that's important enough to go back to the mic to say. Because you couldn't really hear him. I mean, did you guys have to boost the audio up on that? I meant to ask that. Didn't you have to boost the audio up on it? Because you couldn't even, it was difficult for us to play for our radio audience because his voice is so faint. It's so quiet. And even on the simulcast, I think it's probably difficult to hear. That's important enough to go back to the mic to say. What? He should go back to the mic to say this. Especially when you're talking about our hostages. And he had a lot of problems yesterday. I think that that's a big deal. Now, in the meantime, let's have a conversation about some of the speech issues. I have this coming up. I was going to get to this but I'm going to move this around. Can we start? I'm going to set up audio soundbite 7 because this is something else that I've been hearing quite frequently. So you had Ron DeSantis who came out. We played this audio yesterday. He was saying that individuals who are in who are on student visas and they're here in the United States and they're on student visas. And if they are protesting, you know, in favor of Hamas, if they're, you know, engaging in all of this stuff, then they can have their visas revoked and they can go back to their countries. And a lot of people were very upset about that. And John Kirby was asked about that. Audio soundbite 7. And this was his answer. Listen.
And then there's been an uptick on the right among some Republicans who have called for students or foreign nationals who are demonstrating in some of these pro-Palestine demonstrations or, you know, allegedly pro-Hamas demonstrations to have their student visas pulled or to face deportation. What is the administration's response to those kinds of remarks, that kind of rhetoric?
I would just tell you, you don't have to agree with every sentiment that's expressed in a free country like this to stand by the First Amendment and the idea of peaceful protest. I'll leave it at that.
So that's a weird, he says it's a violation of free speech. It's actually not. So let's have a difficult conversation about this because it's under the guise of speech. Now, I wanted to play this out here because this is the same White House that colluded with big tech to censor citizens' free speech. This is the same White House that used the FBI to quell the Hunter Biden laptop story and stifle a free press. This is the same White House that sent its Department of Justice and sent its FBI after parents who spoke up at school board meetings. And suddenly now they've discovered free speech. It's a specious argument they're trying to invoke free speech. But that's not the issue here. This is about student visas. And by the way, this is kind of already law barring admission. Let me just pull this up because I was reading about this because the question is, should they be sent back if they're engaging in, you know, if they're cheering on Hamas, if they're cheering on terrorism? And that's kind of the question of should they be sent back and have their student visas revoked as a result of that. Now, when he came, he was, and of course, as I said, he was responding to, the reporter was asking him about what DeSantis said without mentioning DeSantis's name, which I thought was interesting. And he was saying, no, that's a free speech issue. It's not a free speech issue for people who are here on student visas and who are not American citizens. And there's some court precedent to this. But first and foremost, I mean, it is already, it's weird because it's already a law. It's already established fact. I mean, there's already a law barring that deals with admission of this. No one's preventing speech, but what people are saying is that there should and are consequences regarding supporting terrorism if you're here on a student visa that is a consequence of that speech. I mean, freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequence for things that are unprotected speech, particularly for people who are non-citizens and here on the grace of our nation on a student visa. You don't have to, just because someone wants to come into your country, you don't have to allow them admittance, particularly if they support regimes that hate you and want to murder you and call you the great Satan. You don't have to let those people in. And if things like criminal history and associations can be used to adjudicate whether or not someone can obtain a visa or even maintain a visa, then this does as well. I think the last case that the SCOTUS heard on this was like 1999, and as to this specific issue, there isn't one that they've entertained, but there's a lot of case law on this. And furthermore, like I said, I mean, there is existing law, like ineligibilities that are based on terrorism-related grounds, and it even gets into demonstrations, political, social, espousing, terrorist activity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, this is kind of like retread ground here. But this, it's should be obvious. And I also, again, Why are these people the ones who are lecturing about free speech? That's it. Free speech is celebrated. Sure, I mean, there's certain things that are prohibited, like incitement to violence, and there's some preconditions for that to even be introduced in a court of law. There's libel and defamation and slander and, you know, things of that nature that you're not prohibited from doing it, but you are unprotected from the consequences of it. And there, people who are citizens have rights and enjoy freedoms that people who are non-citizens do not share. That is just common fact. I mean, you have people who are here on student visas who are not citizens of the nation, and they are here by the grace of the citizens that make this country. And you have absolutely zero requirement. There is no obligation to suffer under the idiocy of people who are here on student visas who are engaging in Hamas cheerleading. You have no obligation to tolerate that if they're not citizens. I mean, they can't vote. Where the hell do people come up with this idea that people who come into the country somehow enjoy more rights than people who are citizens here in the United States of America? I get that this is something that progressives have been pushing for quite a long time, but I mean, where did this come from? I mean, people can respond to opinions, and I don't like the government policing, but we're talking about non-citizens and student visas. And I've heard some, like, I've had some capital L libertarians be like, well, Dana, this is a free speech issue. And they keep comparing non-citizens to citizens, which is immediately you're missing the whole point of the argument. If you're here on a visa, if you're here because we're allowing you to be here for education, there are certain things that you can't do because you're not a citizen. If I go to Mexico, I can't participate in a political demonstration because I'm not a Mexican national. I'll be cited or thrown in jail if I do. And it's not just Mexico. There's a ton of other countries. Like, every single country on God's green earth has laws and requirements for people who are non-citizens as opposed to people who are citizens. But yet the United States is unique in that we are the only sovereign entity on the planet that is not afforded that consideration to be able to come have our own laws and have our laws respected. So if people are engaging in cheerleading of Hamas and they're here on a student visa, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Go ahead and get out. I mean, this is if we don't have to invite people to our country if they're cheerleading terrorism. I mean, you're talking about genocide here. I would think that if to criticize genocide seems like a basic action of a civilized people, right? Not cheerleading it. But it's a specious argument and one that seeks to conflate non-citizens with citizens and hiding behind that. And coming from an administration that, you know, up until this point hasn't been very consistent with regards to free speech. We're going to talk more about this because they're focusing on this as some sort of like saving grace for Biden. I'm telling you, they're going to try to make this a bigger thing. They need to drive division because for the first time, it seems like there are a lot of people that now are very, very opposed to Hamas. They're very, very opposed to Iran, and the Biden administration needs to get around this. We're also going to look at what some other countries are doing. Apparently, Germany is now rejecting the mass quote unquote asylum. Now, it could be because their leader, Olaf Scholz, is trying to save himself, or it could be that he's finally seen what happens when you let in every Tom, Dick, and Harry and you don't vet anyone coming into your country. But we're going to discuss that. We're also going to look at Five Eyes. They've issued a warning saying that China is stealing tech at a terrifying rate.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I want to thank Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Todd Young, Representative Joe Morelli and Susan Ward, Susan Wild, for their work to make this happen.
Oh, my word. Like, what on earth is this? This is just wild. His teleprompter yesterday, it was bad. I mean, and this was the time.
Yesterday. Every day.
Let me just share with you what I'm looking at.
Every day.
I've got headlines about China, Philippines, Five Eyes, Lebanon, Syria, Hamas, the tunnels, potential ground invasion. Carrier strike groups, all this stuff happening, right? And you got him up there. It's funny until it's not.
Right.
It's funny until you realize it's your ass. Right? I mean, that's very sobering. It's a very sobering realization here. And I'm just stunned. But that's, he was really having trouble with this. Did he do, wait, audio, what is this audio soundbite? Four. So normally when they do, you know, little avails like this, somebody introduces a president, the president goes up, makes his remarks, etc. He just like blew past the dude and went right to the prompter. Listen.
Good afternoon, folks.
Just walks right past the dude.
I'm not introduced to me, Marcus. I forgot Mark.
I mean, that guy, he just like made that guy redundant first. I mean, he's like, he just blew past. Did you see that dude when he was walking up past him? He had this expression on his face like, you're kidding me, right? Like, for real, you're kidding me. Yeah, that's POTUS. Just blew right past you. Just, he's... That's why when I see, Biden encouraging Israel to wait for ground invasion. What? Why? Biden should be advising you on nothing, nor should any military, anyone in authority in the military that he's appointed. They should not, you should not be taking advice from any of those folks. None of them. ceasefires. There's a cost to Hamas's nonstop aggression. And like I've said, the reason that we're in this position now is because we've had decades of dallying around. We've had decades of telling Israel, stand down, don't respond with much aggression, don't do this, don't do that. And we have prolonged it. You get these pencil pushers up there who they think it's somehow more compassionate to prolong and drag out conflict than it is to just take care of it. So what does that mean to take care of it? I think that's what we're still figuring out what that looks like as Israel is gathering its forces. And apparently, I guess some of that's been training. Some of it's been, there are some people that are getting angry at Netanyahu who already had a lot of anger, by the way, in Israel. There were a lot of people who were mad at Netanyahu, and that's fine. Get mad at him over the judiciary. Get mad at him over all that stuff. That's fine. But I think you got to separate how you have to separate that issue from the other issue of Israel's right of response. And I think some people are kind of conflating those two, and we're going to dive into that a little bit because this is about the right of self-defense. And in war, there are no niceties. I don't believe that there's rules in war. I think that that's something that weak people tell themselves or people who don't know how to prosecute a war. That's what they tell themselves. There's no niceties. There's no rules or manners in war. To quote Sherman, war is hell. We got a lot to dive into still. Second hour in minutes. Stick with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
So is a U.S. war against Iran possible?
I think what we want to see more than anything, Wolf, is no widening of this conflict, no deepening of it.
Yeah.
And we continue to send a strong message to actors in the region, including Iran, that if you're thinking about jumping in here,
don't.
You're thinking about deepening and widening and escalating, don't do it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm done with this. OK, guys, I meant to jump into this last hour and then we went with my structure here. But first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's not a strong response. I'm tired of it. Just don't. What do you have to say to Iran, who might expand hostility? Just don't. You know, what we're saying to other players here, if they're considering exploiting the situation, Wolf, and widening the area of aggression, you know, just don't. Kylie Jenner write his answer. So like, we're just like realizing stuff. Like me and all my friends are just like realizing things. Just don't. Like if Iran was gonna like widen, you know, like the area of hostility, we're like, just don't. Just don't. Seriously? Just don't? No.
It would be, to me, it would be more forceful to say, I dare you. Like, you know, something like that from the administration would be.
No, this is what you do. This is what you do. This is why I can't ever be in elected office, because I'd abolish every office that I'd ever held upon leaving it, or right upon getting in there. And then the next day I'd be like, this office doesn't exist anymore. Just shrink government. But if I were the president of the United States, and I think any president of the United States should do this, is after somebody asks that question, especially if they're at a podium, you can use this to great effect if you're at a podium, because you can step back from the podium. You can hear the question. Or even if you're wearing the lapel mic like he is, you know, you can just sort of lean back from the camera and the shot. It'll aggravate the control room, but just use it for your own purposes. lean back a little bit, listen to the question, so that you leaning in becomes an underscore. And then you can take your lapel, or you can lean into the mic at the podium, and you can say this. Well, Wolf, what I would say to any other entity in the area that seeks to exploit this situation in widening the area of hostilities is that if you do that, this is what's going to happen. Wolf, what we're going to do is we're going to take our collective boot and shove it sideways down their asses until it rests upon the top of their skull. And we're going to wear the carcasses of their leaders like new fall boots. So to answer your question, that's the response, Wolf. End scene. New look for 2023. Look at the my new Ayatollah boots. That seems like, now, Kane, if you were a country, if you were the baddies,
right,
you'd be hearing that like, I'll be damned, they might be crazy enough to do it,
right?
And you might think, maybe not. Maybe, yeah. I won't do that.
I don't want to be someone's boot.
I don't want to be a boot. Maybe I won't do that. You know, just a thought. It's just like my thought process. But look, Biden's trying to help this science medal recipient. I just need you to watch this video. Instead, we get this. He coughs on this dude. Like, what is this? Just watch this. I need you to watch this video because I had to. So you got to share in it with me. There's the guy. Why is Biden's hand frozen like that? Why did he just walk like an automaton? And he coughs on him. Is he pushing him off the stage?
The recipients of the National Medal of...
Like he was pushing.
Can
off
we
the
just
stage.
Get... I'm sorry, I wanted to do this. Can we just get Biden walking, just him with his hand frozen? Like
he was shaking hands
but
with the
But then watch him walk to the podium. Watch him walk. Beep, beep, boop, boop. Now, if you can slow-mo that would be amazing. I might be asking a lot right now. Juan's like, you're killing me. Look at him. Watch him. Holy hell, this is like Five Nights at Freddy's. Beep, beep, boop, boop. Did you see that? He's a robot. Everyone's like, body double. No, he's a human Roomba. He goes into his little charging dock at night. Dude, that's a robot. I mean, I've seen Star Trek a lot. That's a robot. Sorry. We're just realizing stuff. What did you see him? He watched him. Like a predator on the plains. He just, that was terrifying. I got to see that again. I'm so sorry. I cannot get out. I just want that on. Biden's like, beep, beep, boop. And then he gets into robot mode. Have him walk. Let him go. Beep, 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 boop, beep, boop. That's what in the world? Kane, that's a robot. It's a robot. ISSA. Yeah. It's a robot.
Robot body double.
It's robot Biden with laser eyes. Actually, you know, it could just be stupid Voltron. Like, it's a bunch of stupid people in the State Department that have no purpose. And then they just like, beep, boop, boop. You know, I'll form the arms and legs. I am the torso. I am the head. Wow. It's like stupid Voltron. It's all the dumbest people in the State Department that come together and make him. Oh, God. Dude, that's a robot. I could not even move like that if I tried. He should take that and be a street performer. He should go on So You Think You Can Dance, and he would totally win. Pop and lock, Biden. Pop and lock. Did you see his hand? How does that...
He was doing the robot, like the dance move from the 80s.
Beep, beep, doop, doop. You put some boots and pants with that, and he's like styling.
Right.
Like he's going to, golly, that's the guy. Now, do you think any of our enemies are afraid?
Oh, hell no.
No.
Hell no.
No, they're not afraid. And I think at some point you can be too much of a showman and they won't be afraid either. I think a president, a good president, especially during a time of worldwide upheaval. Needs to have an air of could get into a bar fight about him, right? And win it, like by himself without friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need that kind of air. And Biden is just not, I mean, they're treating the office of the presidency like a participation trophy. Oh, he's old and near death. He's been here for a long time. Let's go ahead and give him the office. That's what they did. That's how they treated this. But that was sad, man. And then you got, do I want to get into the Hillary Clinton getting mad? Speaking of robots, you know, you have, now wait a minute, hear me out. So, do you remember Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah.
When they had like the giant maid robot and she was vacuuming all the air out of the planet. So it's like Hillary Clinton. It's like the same thing. It's like a bitch Voltron, right? It's just, you get all the just meanest, horriblest feminists together and they make her, right? So she snapped. She was interrupted mid-speech because people were demanding that she call out Joe Biden for walking us right to the precipice of World War III. This is audio soundbite 18. She gets mad.
I'm sorry. We've got two more people to hear from. You have a chance. Well, I'm not sorry. You sit down and we're going to let other people talk. I'm going to turn now to Frank Mugisha. Frank Mugisha is a leading civil rights organizer who is...
President Joe Biden is going for $100 billion of funding for Israel, Taiwan, and Ukraine.
Because he's like, nobody wants to give him the mic. He's in the audience. The way he's gesturing, I want to bully him. Okay. I mean, he's a leftist. Let's not make a mistake.
This is not the way to have a conversation.
Gosh,
if you want to
like
have a conversation, you're welcome to come talk to me afterwards.
No, she doesn't. And she doesn't mean that. You know that. You're welcome to come.
I will wait for you, and I will listen to you, and I will respond to you.
No, she won't.
But right. Well, just.
Oh man,
yeah,
dude, you're gonna get suicided. Sit down. Sit down.
Well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Well, then sit down. We've heard your opinion.
She's so mad. Oh my gosh. I can't deal right now. I can't deal. Oh, I can't. Okay, I got to play this for you. So I saw this. This is new. So Trump was in New Hampshire. He filed for the primary. I listened to, there was a 16 minute clip of this. There's nothing here that's out of context because I wanted to make sure. Now, wait a minute. Is he talking about, what's he talking about here? Wait a second. Sometimes he gets ahead of his skis and he needs to not say these things. Audio soundbite 11, please.
So we have to be careful. You got to get out there and you got to watch those voters. You don't have to vote. Don't worry about voting. The voting, we got plenty of votes. You got to watch.
Oh my gosh. No. No.
He said don't bother with voting.
Oh my gosh. Girl, what you doing? Stop. No, baby, what you doing? No. Why does he do this? He did this in Georgia, too. Do you remember that one dude? What's his name? Oh, Lynn Wood. Yeah. He was out there telling everybody, don't vote. Your vote doesn't count. Okay, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, so just like deal, because this is the truth. This is how we lost Georgia. This is how we lost the Senate. I was on the ground in Georgia. I was helping with some of the get out the vote stuff. I cannot tell you how demoralized volunteers were. I cannot tell you the number of people I talked to who said, yeah, we're just not going to go vote. We're just, it doesn't matter anymore. And it was turnout. Republicans literally suicided themselves in the Georgia runoff. That's how we lost the Senate. And I mean, I talked to so many grassroots conservatives who were so desperate to not lose the Senate, and they were trying to get out there. They have hard numbers. I mean, we talked about this after it happened. I went back, I tweeted out a piece yesterday because there was an AJC report, and these are just hard. It's hard numbers. It's from the Secretary of State. They tally all this stuff. turnout fell. It was one of the most precipitous declines amongst Republican voters that the state had seen in recent elections. And that is from Emory University. In addition to Emory University, there was also an AJC survey. There was a lot. Center for Responsive Politics did a survey. It was one of the most precipitous declines in Republican voter turnout that they had ever seen. The overall turnout fell from 5 million to just a little over. So you had almost a million people who didn't go vote in Georgia for the special election. And that's how we lost the Senate. That's not because anything was Democrats convinced Republicans to steal their own votes. That's what happened. I need Trump not to tell people ever again to not vote. Please do not ever do that again. No, do not do that. Your vote matters. It does matter. It does matter.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a woman returned from vacation and she found her home, her Atlanta home, absolutely demolished. And I'm having like major difficulties here in actually getting this story up because nothing wants to work, Kane. Nothing wants to. Okay, here it is. Sarah Hodgkin. She was trying to process how her longtime family property ended up in a pile of rubble. She said she was on vacation. She got a call from a neighbor. This is why you have house sitters. The neighbor goes, quote, "Did you hire someone to tear your house down next door to me?" That was what the neighbor said. And she was like, "No." She goes, "Oh, well, there's someone over here who just demolished your whole house." That's what the neighbor told her. Oh my gosh. She said the workers got nasty when they were confronted. They told her to shut up and mind her own business. That's what they told the neighbor. So she sent family over and they said they wanted to see a permit. And the guy pulled out his permit, no joke, and said, quote, "Oh, I'm at the wrong address."
No.
Yes. 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 This is Fox 5 Atlanta. This absolutely happened. Wow. I just cannot even. I'm just trying to imagine like what. I can't, man. I can't. Also, quickly, sorry. I'm having like major freezing and technical difficulties, and it's because Smod needs to come and hit this computer right now. I don't know why. Apologies for that, but everything froze up. We have more in store. We're going to get into some of the latest, the house fight too. I got some theories about some house jockeying. Stick with us.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think whether from all parts of the political spectrum, one of the biggest issues that we have when it comes to immigration is the fact that we have an undocumented population. Mm-hmm. Now, you can fix that by trying to build a wall, or you can fix that by trying to document people.
What? Kane, what's the matter with you? What are you doing over there? What's you doing?
She's almost got it.
She's almost
she's
there.
She's almost there.
That's AOC. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you. Bottom of this second hour. She's just about there on the... She's trying to get off the struggle bus. I mean, we have an undocumented population. That's a problem. Wow, really? Tell us more about this. How does that happen? So wild. It's crazy. Now, on top of that, Audio Soundbite 17, Customs and Border Patrol, they're saying, hey, you guys know that border that nobody's paying attention to right now? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff coming across. FYI, guys. Hey. Listen.
But the intel arm of CBP has a new bulletin out, and the headline is pretty alarming. It says in bold letters right at the top, "Foreign fighters of Israel-Hamas conflict may be encountered at southwest border." The Daily Caller got a copy of this material. It was distributed 3 days ago, and it's about Hamas, Hezbollah, or Islamic Jihad fighters exploiting the porous border to get into the U.S. Part of the concern is that terrorists can see a ton of traffic down there. The new number is 2.48 million encounters in a fiscal year, and among them at least 172 people from the terror watch list. That is 172 who actually came face to face with law enforcement and didn't get away.
That's kind of a big deal, I think. Big deal to have that many. I mean, we have no idea what's happening with our own southern border. And we already know that there was at least one Hezbollah linked militant that came, that was trying to come through. So it's a big issue, a very big issue. Karine Jean-Pierre is speaking right now. We're not going to take it, but we'll. Heaven knows what I can't imagine. Heaven knows what she's going to say. Yeah, or how she's going to spin this. So the question of when this kind of I don't think we're going to know when any kind of ground invasion takes place. I do think, like I said, that they're trying to bait us into war. I do believe that. And I also think that you can support the actions of Israel. I support however they need to take care of this. That's what they need to do. And I think that the implications go far beyond just that region. I got to tell you, this is a weird story. I saw this first at Daily Wire. There was a survey that was done. Ryan Savadera has the story. It was a new survey that was released, and it found they surveyed over 2,000 people from October 16th to October 18th to measure the public's not just awareness of what was happening in the Middle East, but attitudes about what was happening. And they said that there were 50% of people who had a positive opinion of Israel, 12% had a negative opinion, 37% were neutral. The two groups, when you break it down further, that had the highest negative views of Israel were Muslim Americans at 36.5%, followed by Democrats at 15%. And the largest positive views were Jewish Americans at 85% and Republicans at 65%. But they said that the survey of the demographics, Muslim Americans seemed less aware of all of these different aspects of atrocities that were committed by Hamas than Jewish Americans. So apparently, like less than 10% of Jewish Americans were unaware of the fact that Hamas was decapitating kids, compared to 34% of Muslim Americans who were not aware. I got to pause there. Aware or care? They found the survey that Hamas is viewed by the majority of Americans as the same as Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and ISIS. Muslim Americans mostly agreed, but they over-indexed slightly for saying that Hamas is not as bad as each of the other terror organizations, according to the survey. Now, here's where it gets really, really frightening. 57.5% of Muslim Americans, and there were over 2,000 surveyed, said that they agreed that, quote, and this is how it was stated, and you agree or disagree, Hamas was justified in attacking Israel as part of their struggle for a Palestinian state, unquote. Of those surveyed, 57.5% said that they agreed. A plurality still had a positive view of the leader of Hamas. Almost 40% viewed him positively. They just murdered over 1,400 people. They just murdered over 31 Americans brutally. People were burned alive. And 10% of Americans, including nearly 40% of American Muslims, have a favorable view of the leader of Hamas. That is terrifying. Now, I think it's worth noting in this that there is what I think the number of Americans who hold a negative view of Israel is very small in the survey. I think they said what less than 12% consider themselves in that category. I don't know where this is wild. In the United States, and this is census information, they're not a huge percentage. Muslim Americans are a very small percentage of the American population, but it's like, you know, they really vote overwhelmingly Democrat. I'm trying to figure out the psychology of this, because how you can view Hamas in a positive manner or think that they're what they did was justified. And this gets into this long going, and I know that you probably heard me talk about this before, but I think it's so important. that this is a problem that's more widespread than just this area. There's a very good piece that was written by Jonathan Tobin, and this is kind of what I've been saying, how not all Palestinians, and I don't believe in that term. I don't believe in that term because I don't think that it's a group of people. They're Jordanian, really. And again, I don't believe in a Palestine. That's never existed. It's not supported by 2,000 years of antiquity. It's not mentioned in the Quran. It's not mentioned in the Bible. And once again, the name comes from a reference that Hadrian gave the Jewish people after they quelled another Judean uprising, and they named them after Syria Philistina, the enemies of the Jews that had, like, I think been, that was from several centuries earlier, and named them after the Philistines, who were actually from Crete. They were a seafaring people and not at all Arabic. And they had left that area like forever ago. So it was done spitefully to disassociate Jewish people from the land, and people like Yasser Arafat, before he became worm food, promoted this idea of like this magical group of people that just like came out of the ether and exists. I'm not going to conjure this into a reality any more than I'm going to conjure into reality the idea that a man can chop off his wing and become a chick. It doesn't exist. I believe in science and I believe in history. I believe in fact. That's why I'm a conservative. Not to that point. It's a very good piece. Not all Palestinians are Hamas, but Hamas does represent them. And that is true. I told you before, they were popularly elected in 2006. Surveys in 2021 showed a landslide victory coming for them in the elections. And so the reason that the elections were postponed is because the ruling authority of the two territories determined that they didn't want Hamas to take over both territories. And there was, and probably is some truth to the geopolitical approach to keeping these two factions, whether it's Fatah or Hamas, kind of at each other's throats as to divide, to control. Because even everybody understands that when you divide people and you have different groups at each other's throats, you can control them. Can I just sidebar for a minute? This is what I don't get about the left. I hear the left say this all the time. Oh, well, Netanyahu wanted to give money and he wanted to support Hamas because that was a great way to keep the two territories under control because Hamas and Fatah were constantly at each other's throats. Do you not realize it's literally what you do here in the United States with identity politics? And you're too much of a dumbass to even know it. You literally do the same thing. You support the exact same tactics here in the United States to keep everybody at each other's throats so you can control the population better. Interesting. The left has no concept of irony. So they represent them because they were popularly elected. Numerous surveys had showed that they enjoy overwhelming support from Gazans. And so the idea earlier I was hearing two-state solution from Anthony Blinken. It's not going to happen. Hamas is not an outlier. One of the things Tobin noted is that in the Federalists is that New York Magazine, all these other people, they try to argue that, well, you know, they don't represent the people. Actually, they do. I mean, they ended up they were popularly elected. And they view their own civilian casualties as like an asset to them politically, as opposed to like a tragedy or an atrocity. I mean, that's just the way that they've always viewed it. They use their civilians as human shields. But yet what gets me is that they've done this for decades, but that has not at all contributed to a groundswell of opposition towards them. Not at all. You have people who take to the streets to celebrate terror attacks against Israel, and not just in Gaza. You had tons of people in the streets in Gaza that celebrated. You had tons of people. We saw it. I mean, you saw the video. You can't deny what you see with your own eyes. You can't deny what's being reported. You can't deny what friends of yours who are traveling through Europe see in big cities that they're in. You can't deny it. And there were people who were cheering. There were cheers. When they came back after they attacked Israel, I mean, they gave them like a hero's welcome. Fatah is the more moderate party. And their leader, Mahmoud Abbas, is the president of the quote-unquote Palestinian Authority. And they had this, they had the election in 2006. That was something that W had pushed. And Hamas was, they were so successful that Tobin notes too, that was sort of the impetus for their coup that kicked Fatah out of Gaza Strip. And that's when in 2005, Israel withdrew everything. They did everything possible to chase the peace that never comes. Because If Hamas wanted peace, you would have peace. They wanted Gaza. They got Gaza. That wasn't enough. It's not that they want Gaza. It's not that they want West Bank. It's not that they want their own place. They don't want Jews to exist. That is Hamas. And by the way, they have not been challenged for authority in Gaza. And that has just made them more radical and more violent. It's their position. I mean, they have and you can say Fatah is moderate and that Abbas might be more moderate than Hamas's leader, but they still do martyrs funds. That doesn't sound moderate to me. I mean, you're paying people's families that go and engage in suicide bombing and else. They get pensions for life. That's weird. That's weird to me. That's not moderate. Now, they're in a geopolitical situation like this, you have to realize that at some point you have to eliminate the threat. And that's why they've been warning for people to get out of the way, people to leave. Although Hamas, you know, they need them there, so they've been blocking the roads, etc. But Hamas has to be entirely struck off the face of the earth. Otherwise, this is never going to end. And it's going to end up costing more lives. It's going to end up going on and on and on. It has to end, however it has to end. It's sort of like how, you know, we were looking at Japan in the 40s. This has to end. And you can't pretend that people who voted for a ruling authority aren't supportive of the ruling authority. That's not to say that every single person voted for them, but we are far beyond, I think, decades past prolonging things to take all of this into consideration. And that is not a choice that Israel has made. That's not a choice that you've made or anyone in the United States. It's a choice that Hamas made. And it's a choice that all of the countries that have been holding Israel back this entire time have enabled it to make. Let's be honest about that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So he's a Tampa man in a Buccaneers jersey, and he posed as a police officer and was trying to pull over cars on I-75. He's facing, because you can't impersonate law enforcement. So he was trying to pull people over in Brooksville, said troopers. Earl Cesario, 62, of Tampa. He was arrested, taken to Sumter County Jail with his Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey on. A trooper pulled him over because he was getting all these reports that this red GMC pickup was using red and blue flashing lights, pulling over other cars in his truck. Like, who would pull over for that, though? Would you pull over for a truck?
No.
Like, hell, I wouldn't. I'd be like, you come get me. And I'll be like, you weren't in a mark. I didn't trust you. I see lights. I'm not going to. Dude, he's got red fuzzy dye in his car, like right on the, you know, because that's what police do in their Ford and their GMC pickups. So they said he told authorities that they were apparently lying, that he did not actually have his lights on, but he did. And the driver said he thought it was undercover law enforcement at the time, and he started pulling over. But then he became suspicious after the truck sped off. So he was the one who ended up contacting law enforcement. They did detain him. He took him into custody without incident, but oh my gosh. Let's see here. Boy, we got some parents of the year here coming up in this too. We got a Florida man arrested for stealing and damaging an excavator. Let's do the iguana. This is a thing. So this is a new one. Not the same one that I had like last month. This is brand new. A guy in Hollywood, Florida, found an iguana straight up in his toilet. Took a video of it, too. He sent it to Channel 6 NBC in South Florida. And the lizard was hanging out in the dude's toilet bowl. It looks huge. They called animal control. They got it out. They said that the iguana tried to slither back down the sewer system in the same way that it came in. This seems like it's common. And also, the guy has a pot leaf mat right there by his toilet. I don't understand the mats by the toilet. I don't get that. That Florida man, sanest person in our country right now. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Make something clear at the top, because I understand how important moral clarity is, especially at this time. So when Jews are targeted because of their beliefs, or their identity, when Israel is singled out because of anti-Jewish hatred, that is anti-Semitism.
So, okay, so she's finally being honest about some of that stuff. Okay, finally.
Since yesterday.
Yeah, since yesterday, it's been a... She's been on the struggle bus, Kane. I mean, it's, you know, it's difficult for her. It's difficult. Welcome back to the show, top of the third hour. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. A lot of stuff to hit. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. And this, because we have the, looking at all of the latest with what, with Israel hostages. We still have hostages. That we've had, do we even know how many? That's what I was like actually looking for. I've been trying to, I don't even think we know how many. The administration hasn't given any updates either. Isn't that weird? Like you have American, like a number of American hostages. You've had a number of Americans killed and you have the administration that just isn't giving you any updates on that. And I had this conversation with folks earlier with regards to how this ultimately should be handled. And we talked about it earlier in the program. Just back off, let Israel do what it needs to do and provide what we've been providing with support. If we have to send munitions over there, fine. Send munitions over. The thing that I think people need to realize, first off, Israel and Ukraine aren't the same thing at all. There's an end goal in mind with Israel. Israel just wants to be left alone. Ukraine is a huge money laundering operation as well. And there's a lot of corruption with the Ukrainian government, too. And we don't have any NATSEC issues over there for interest at all whatsoever. And with Israel, the idea of them just them, they can take care of their business. We don't have to send, other than door kickers to get our folks back. We don't need to send boots on the ground. We don't need to do any of that. We just need to back off and not restrain them and let them go unleashed and do what they needed to do really decades ago. That's the best thing to do, because if that means if providing munitions or sending over whatever ammo, however you want to, any kind of artillery, if that helps them take care of the situation and it means that, you know, my kids, your kids don't have to go and fight World War III, I'm fine with that. Because that's protecting America's interests. That's the Sun Tzu approach. I like the Sun Tzu approach. It is, and they can. They're more than capable of doing so. I think that is really, I'm kind of shocked when I hear people intimate otherwise, and I just kind of question the understanding of their understanding of the area and also Israel's military capability and technological capability. They're more than capable. Again, they haven't done it, though, because of all of these other countries all around the world. You have the world police. You have the United Nations, everyone else, the UN. Oh, you mustn't commit war. Terrorists aren't covered by Geneva Convention. And I don't think there are any rules when it comes to dealing with terrorists. I really don't. Have you seen, I mean, we talked about some of it yesterday. They made the interrogation with the Hamas fighters public. They showed the assembled press everything that, you know, they could with regards to what the terrorists were doing when they raided all of this, when they were raiding these communities and killing these people and just the horror of it. There's no freedom in it. Now, in the meantime, we have the house fight. This is a mess. So Tom Emmer looks like he's short. Lorraine noted he's short of 10 votes. I'm not a fan of Tom Emmer as speaker. He's way moderate. And I just don't think that it makes sense to say that the reason that you want to take out Kevin McCarthy is because he's a moderate and he breaks promises, and then put in someone that, you know, is measurably more moderate and promise breaky than McCarthy. Right? Because then does it seem like that's on principle anymore, Kane?
Yeah, no.
that it doesn't. One of the things that, in addition to him supporting big spending and all this other stuff, and Lorraine has noted this too, he's not a big fan of the Electoral College. Y'all know this, right? He's a fan of mob rule. He likes pure democratic process, which our founders didn't even like, but you know. I've met Emmer before. This is nothing personal. He likes the national popular vote. He does. He's a moderate Minnesotan. He has a 69% liberty score from Conservative Review. And he likes the national popular vote. But and he doesn't just, I should warn you, he doesn't just like the national popular vote, right? No. He's traveled to advocate for it. Yeah. We are not a pure democracy. There's a reason why we have an electoral college. Big, big reason. And he's advocated for a national popular vote. That, to me, is immediately disqualifying. So if we end up getting Tom Emmer in place of Kevin McCarthy, it's even worse. And I call shenanigans on everybody involved. That is, I'm not making this up. That is, go look at it. There's video of him talking about it on YouTube. I mean, for crying out loud, he's like all over talking about this. He was a big proponent of it. There's video on Insta that I saw. Come on. He's everywhere with us. So he's a big supporter of the national popular vote. Is that troubling to anybody else? I mean, the guy, the speaker, right? Troubling to anybody else? Anybody? So I don't want to see him as speaker. I don't. You know who I would like to see as speaker? Is Beth Van Dyne. Byron Donalds, he was nominated as well. And I think he would be a good speaker. There's no way in hell that you'll get Democrats to vote for him. Because number one, they don't like black conservatives. That terrifies them. Particularly white progressive Democrats. Nobody hates a black conservative more than a white progressive Democrat. They just will not. It's never going to happen. And I also think that Donald's, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of back channel murmuring that he's got his eyes set. He'd like to be governor of Florida one day. So would Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz wants to be governor of Florida. I'm wondering, wouldn't he not want to tie Donald's up in a speakership so that he could have a more open shot to go for Florida governor? I'm just thinking out loud here, right? Doesn't that seem? Yeah. Donald's would be way better, obviously, but FYI, just kind of odd. So I don't know. All I know is that we end up getting somebody like Emmer. And again, no offense, but I mean, it's just immediately disqualifying if you are for a national popular vote. That's against what the founders wanted. It's against our representative. Or it's against our Republican process. I mean, we have a republic with some democratic processes. We don't have straight pure democracy for a reason. It's two wolves and a sheep voting on what they want to eat for dinner. So, yeah, that's not. I just think it's anti-American. It's antithetical to our founding documents, and it's antithetical to the spirit of this republic. So that's immediately disqualifying to me. And any Republican that backs that as a legitimate replacement for McCarthy should have their entire motivations called into question. I think it's suspect. So, and you should be asking how in the hell somebody that wants a national popular vote even gets up to that point. That's bizarre to me. I don't get it, man. It's wild. It's wild. So that's some of the latest where the house is. I don't know. Lorraine's going to have a piece up coming up on Chapter and Verse, the newsletter for Substack for you subscribers. That's why you should go and you should subscribe, because you get all of this stuff regularly. You get it delivered right to your inbox. So you don't have to go looking for it. And we'll see how this goes. All right. So Germany is now rejecting mass asylum. Interesting. Now, you might remember they've had some problems over the years, some major problems over the years, because they've sort of allowed every single person to come in and I mean, they've been I mean, what, for 5-6 I mean, maybe even longer, for a number of years now, there's been a major problem with people that they have not been able to vet who come into the country, and now they've been dealing with the repercussions of it. I mean, the women have been attacked. It's been crazy. There's been clashes in the streets. So Germany's having a reckoning because voters are tired of the policies that have led to that. And there's a piece in Der Spiegel where their leader, Olaf Scholz, he's the chancellor. It even kind of sounds like he's had enough. He told Der Spiegel, quote, "We must finally deport on a large scale those who have no right to stay in Germany." And then he in the article, he said never again and reiterated that he stands firmly by Israel and condemns anti-Semitism. And he did the interview after he went to Israel and met with leaders. That's wow. There are people in Germany that do not see it that way. And he has, I mean, Scholz says he was very rigid about it. Not at all like what we're used to with Angela Merkel, who is very wishy-washy and weak. So he literally said, quote, "We must finally deport on a large scale those who have no right to stay in Germany." He said, "We need to actually be able to deport when federal police take them into custody." He talked about steps that their immigration office needed to take. And this is after, I mean, because they've had, I don't know if you've seen it on Twitter, they were rioting outside of in different German cities in favor of Hamas. And there were riots outside of the Israeli ambassadors, the consulate there. I mean, just wild. Just mostly peaceful protests, you know. Just dang. And it's weird because Der Spiegel goes, "You're striking a new, tougher tone on migration policy. What caused you to make the change?" And he's like, "I've thought about this in every position that I've held." Also, maybe look at what the hell's happening in your streets, Germany. I mean, do you remember the story of the woman who was attacked and raped while she was at the Christmas market a couple of years ago? The damn Christmas market. She's there looking at candy canes and like cute Christmas stuff and a bunch of damn asylees that they don't even know where they came from. They know nothing about their backgrounds. Came, attacked her, and raped her right in the damn street. It was all over the internet. We talked about it on air at the time. Maybe, well, I don't know, some of the stuff that's happening in the streets, they just figured enough is enough. It's time to stop this nonsense. Goodness, Der Spiegel had no idea, because they're trash. They're absolute commie trash. They had no idea. They had no idea how to take Scholz's answer. So coming up, the Five Eyes issues a huge warning to Silicon Valley. They're saying, look, China is they're stealing everything that they can at a rate that unforeseen. We're going to discuss that, because it's not just, you know, as Israel is dealing with the Hamas issue, we got issues that we got to watch as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a passenger is up in arms because she got kicked off a flight, a Southwest flight, for petting a puppy. Yeah, there was a series of clips that another passenger uploaded detailing this particular passenger's predicament. So it happened. The passenger was flying on Southwest Airlines, they said, and they in the video had an 8-week-old puppy named Sitka in tow going from Colorado back home to California. The puppy began to whine a little bit. The flight attendant was checking boarding passes. And she told the passenger, if the dog continues to make noises, you may not be able to fly. And she petted the dog to calm it, which calmed it down right away. But then she was petting it through the top of the carrier. The flight attendant said, oh, it has to be zipped at all times and under the seat. Apparently, they hadn't even taken off yet. Like, people were still boarding. So she said it has to be secure in the pet carrier. If you don't follow, then you're going to be, I mean, she was like saying it has to be zipped under the seat, but your dog has to not whine, all this other stuff. Long story short, the attendant was giving her some, according to the video, contradictory requests, and they ended up ejecting her off the flight. I think that's stupid. That's so dumb. I can't. This is why I say I like dogs, but I don't like that woman. I feel totally fine in saying that. That's so goofy. Come on. Just Australia appoints a feral pig as a czar, as its population, feral hogs are a huge problem, balloons up to, what, 24 million, I think? This is kind of crazy. Because it's an AOL article and it's trash, it won't load. So that's as far as we're going to get with that headline. Doctors could soon prescribe a video game for ADHD. I think video games are helpful for a lot of stuff. China beer maker, a worker was caught urinating in a raw material warehouse. That's disgusting. They're actually telling people, giving them tips to prevent hand injuries during pumpkin carving. I just think some people shouldn't handle knives. I've seen some of these people cut vegetables. Stop it. I wouldn't trust you with a knife or a pumpkin carving at all. They're saying, apparently that's like a big problem, like trips to urgent care because people cut themselves with this. So goofy. We have more in store. The latest with some of the house race and then all the latest with everything else. Stick with us.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly, and it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt going forward. I wish I could tell you something different. I wish that that wasn't going to happen. But it is going to happen. And that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it dismissible. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to still express concerns about that and do everything we can to help the Israelis do everything they can to minimize it. But that's unfortunately the nature of conflict.
Mm. Well, that's the most honest thing that he said. I'm going to give him credit there, which is weird for me to do, but I will. That's John Kirby, and that is one of the most honest things that he's ever said. And one of the most realistic things that he's ever said. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you, bottom of this third hour. That's the truth of it. Whenever people say, well, how many, and I've had all these Hamas apologists, how many more, you know, people in Gaza have to die, or how many more we didn't determine that. That ability to choose no to that was stolen from us by Hamas. It was stolen from everybody by Hamas. Hamas was the one that chose to engage in this. Hamas was the one who chose to endanger people. Hamas was the one who has rejected every offer to live in peace. Hamas chose this. You have to reject those kinds of questions, because they immediately, right off the bat, it's a straw man argument, because it implies several things. It implies, number one, that you have control of ending the situation, which you don't. Nobody does. Israel doesn't even. The only way that they can end it is for Hamas now not to exist. They tried for how long, Cain? Decades. I don't even know how long anymore.
As long as I can remember.
I mean, since I've been alive, this has been happening over there. They've tried for so long to live in peace, and Hamas says they don't want anything to do with it. So they unfortunately made this decision. And they made this decision, and now, in order to save lives and stop prolonging further loss of life, further destruction, Israel has to end it. So you have to reject the presentation of that question, because in order to even continue from there, you have to accept as your responsibility the responsibility of being in the position in the first place. Somehow it's implied that it's your fault that it's Israel's fault that they're in the situation in the first place, and it isn't. They merely responded. They responded to aggression. How many more people have to die before Hamas realizes that it has to live peacefully in this world with others? I mean, that should really ultimately be the question. You can immediately discern where someone is coming from by how they phrase that, and that's a straw man argument. And unfortunately, a lot more innocent people are going to get killed. That's the truth of war. And that's what Hamas chose. No one else chose that but Hamas. And they chose it very brutally. They are the aggressors in this situation. So John Kirby was very, he was very honest there. And that was kind of surprising to see. Because I think everybody's sort of been, you know, he's like, it's bloody, it's ugly. I will say that, you know, there's no rules in war. And there with this, I think you got to suspend ROE and go from there. It's very sad, but that's what they chose. That's what they determined that they wanted. Now, a few other things, because that gets into, I mean, we talked about free speech. I wanted to touch on this story with Five Eyes, China stealing technological secrets from AI, everything from AI to computing and biology. This is, everybody's being warned about this, particularly Silicon Valley. They're saying that China has the espionage that they're committing and this what they are stealing is at a rate that's unprecedented. Now, Five Eyes is what they call the alliance that Australia, Canada, obviously the United States, New Zealand, and the UK. It's an intelligence cooperative. It's they're allies and we share intelligence. And it's they talk about it as because it would be like, oh, it's named, you know, these countries' eyes only, five countries, five eyes. That's how it got its name. But they've been warning. They've come out. Their intel chiefs have come out. And they've warned everyone. This is like one of the first times they've come out like this, saying this is really bad. They're issuing a scale of theft unprecedented in human history. Now, I love, by the way, if you were to Google Five Eyes warning, you have the Chinese search, their propaganda pieces, their version of Pravda. It says Five Eyes is accustomed to spreading lies about China. The Chinese foreign ministers come out, hit out against the warning. And then you have their South China, what is it, the Morning Post, all this other stuff, all of the propaganda pieces. Oh, the Five Eyes is spreading lies about China again. Well, they're not. I mean, they've stolen stuff before. What are you talking about? It's not a lie. They've done this repeatedly. They've done this before. And so isn't anything going to come of it, though? I mean, I don't think that is a priority for this administration, because I feel like this administration has prioritized making money off of China with China as opposed to thwarting China's ability to steal IP and other secrets. But they're saying it's a defining threat. There was 60 Minutes had a panel on it. I don't like Christopher Wray. He was on the panel. I don't know. I mean, I think he's part of the problem. But they said that they cultivate these methods and they have employees at companies with sought after information. Those are targeted. Now, I was telling you about this earlier. Like, it goes beyond what they've done traditionally with espionage. And they said that, I mean, a lot of times people aren't even aware that it's happening. But it's, you know, they look at people who have security clearance who are working in very interesting areas of technology. They said that there are 20,000 examples that they've documented of these disguised approaches just to people in the UK alone, where the Chinese state has tried to get its hands on their tech IP. And they said it involves a lot of cutting edge technology, a lot of industrial advances, and they, you know, a lot of that. And they said that if you are operating at the cutting edge of tech right now in this decade, you might not be focusing on geopolitical issues, but geopolitical issues are focusing on you. And that espionage, doing this for the CCP, I mean, that's just 20,000 examples in the UK alone. I can't even imagine what that would be like here in the US. I mean, you know, so far we know Dianne Feinstein had a CCP spy as a driver for 20 years. Eric Swalwell slept with a CCP spy. I mean, we know, I would say, so I don't think they necessarily target the brightest among us all the time, but they said that the Chinese government had tried to derail one candidate who had been critical of its country. And they said that they left a voicemail for an investigator saying, quote, beat him until he cannot run for election. They are very, I mean, you have the little police, the secret CCP police departments that have been in the U.S. This administration has not prioritized any of this. But, you know, what you've seen is you've seen the unprecedented amount of money that the Bidens have made with Rosemont Seneca and everything else with China. I mean, I think that there's enough there to argue without a lot of question that this administration has prioritized enriching itself off of reducing our security against China. All of this stuff has been happening, and there hasn't really been much of a response from the U.S. on this. And in term, and by response, I mean things that we're doing here to shore up our own defenses, security-wise, against people exploiting, you know, our abilities to get IP, to get to compromise, get secrets, etc. It's just like a major issue here. And they're saying that we have to work together. We have to have vigilance. But they're warning. They're saying this. It's unprecedented. And it's beyond regular traditional espionage tactics. You know what this sounds like? Some Mission Impossible stuff. Doesn't it? It totally does. It totally sounds like some Mission Impossible stuff. You know, some people got like some fake face masks and all that. Sidebar, do you think that's actually a thing? I don't know if anybody's ever been able to have a face mask that real. Although I think the robot that was Joe Biden on stage in the video that we showed you last hour definitely is. Def is. All right, so some radio business. Most of you don't care about inside baseball stuff. Kane?
Yeah?
I got the false soap in for the radio bathroom. I am the only chick here. These nice. Guys don't care if they wash their hands with activated charcoal. They don't care. I do. And I'm like, oh, it's fall. I'm like doing like my basic bish stuff. I'm like, it's fall. We got to have like the fall soaps and everything.
Yeah, every season is a new type of soap.
Yeah, so I got the, I'm not advertising for these people, so I'm not going to, but I got, it's here, so I'm going to hide the, it's fig soap. It's fig. I was like, oh, everybody does like apple.
Fig.
Yeah, I get Christmas presents for people all year long, and then I hoard it until Christmas because I don't like waiting until last minute to do anything. And I was out picking stuff up, and I saw, oh, and I like to shop local, and it's a fig soap. So your hands are gonna smell like fig. I cannot tell you what Kane said in response to this because yes, no, I will probably get dropped from a number of affiliates.
You do not need to say stuff like that.
But it is the most Always Sunny in Philadelphia thing you could probably have as a response. It is so politically incorrect and hysterical.
Actually, after I said it, I was thinking, what does fig smell like? Does it smell like Fig Newtons?
I don't know.
What is fig?
Am I supposed to open this?
Do we know what fig smells like?
I mean, I know what a Fig Newton smells like.
That's what I'm saying. But am I going to smell
I guess that smells like fig.
Like Fig Newtons?
Yeah, it smells like fig. I mean, does it smell like fall? I don't know. I mean, do I necessarily associate fig with fall? I don't know, but it sounded nice because I like melted cheese with figs.
Isn't there something about figgy pudding?
Yeah. That's like a Christmas thing.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's a fall.
So this will be a nice fall scent. Your hands will smell like figs.
Yay. I don't know what that is, but yay.
But you drink bacteria tea, but you're making fun of my fig soap.
I'm saying
gosh,
yay.
I so wish I could tell people what you said. Oh my gosh, it was one of the funniest, craziest. I wish so badly I could tell everybody what you said.
I'm celebrating the fig soap. I don't know why you're acting like...
Oh, now today you're celebrating it.
No, I was celebrating
it. Yesterday you were not celebrating the fig soap.
That was my way of celebrating.
You're like, oh, fig soap.
I have a unique way of celebrating.
And then he made a joke about what he was going to do after he washed his hands with the fig soap. I'm gonna say, like, I'm easing you into the fall season, right? We don't really have a fall. Yes. Oh, sorry, Europeans. Autumn. We call it fall because the leaves fall on the ground. I'm just like making it a little more, you know, autumny. It's all right.
You're accusing me of being a fig bigot.
Yeah,
a figot. Right.
Is what I was.
A fig bigot.
Just.
And it's not true.
Very, very close to what you said. I was making your hands. With the fig soap.
I celebrate the new soap every season. I look
forward to
Steve,
you know what fig smells like, right? You like Fig Newtons?
You know, how would you describe what fig smells like?
I mean, I know what it smells like. I don't want to put it in my mouth.
What? No. What it smells like, not what it tastes like.
Oh, yeah.
How would you describe the fig smell to someone? How would you do that?
It's like
describe it.
It's like fruity trees, right? I don't know.
It smells figgy.
So we're going to have a new segment on the show called Make Steve Describe Stuff. So Steve, what it smells like? Fruity trees. I don't know. Like fruity trees. Just, I love it. All right. We got to get rolling. We have Today in Stupidity on the way. Oh, my gosh. All right. As we do get moving. No thanks to the fig soap. Sorry. Had to.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've long said America can be defined by a single word. I was in the Tibetan Plateau with Xi Jinping. I spent a great deal of time with him one-on-one back when I was vice president and since then. And he looked at me and he said, we just had simultaneous interpreters. And he said, can you define America for me? And I said, I can. One word. I mean it sincerely. Possibilities.
What? Oh, my gosh. I can't. Maybe he is wearing a mask. I don't know. Kane's trying to convince me that he's wearing a mask, that it's not actually Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's got to be somebody. I mean, I'd like to believe it's just some other idiot in a bodysuit or
something.
Now
you got me looking at mask videos.
Yeah.
You told me to put on my Faraday sock hat, but I told you I couldn't fit it over my hair mess that's on top of my... It's rainy and humid here, and it's impossible to style hair like that, ladies, you know. And Kane, what did you call my hair?
I said your hair... Yes, of course you couldn't get the beanie on your head because of the way you're wearing your hair. It is looking... Now, like a high rise for birds and butterflies.
That's right.
It's tall.
I got a lot of it, okay?
You got a lot of hair.
It's all mine. It's a lot of hair.
Up there.
I can't help it. All right, so. That's all right, you jerk. It's our president. Yay. It makes you feel so confident and everything, doesn't it? You feel confident with that guy? Yeah. Now you got me looking at like masks.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to consider. I'm
why?
It's just my
why should
job.
I consider this?
It's just my job to introduce things.
No, you're trying to make me. You're trying to make me paranoid.
No, I just want you to see
that.
A
didn't
different,
sound. That did not sound convincing.
Me exposing you to a different perspective is not the same thing as trying to convince you of something. Hmm. Just look at a different perspective. That's all.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Mm-hmm. So, good heavens.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't know. Man, I just want to talk about my fig soap and try to bully you into playing Warhammer because everything's going to hell. And now I'm looking at like literal like rubber face masks.
Yep.
Like actual like just
looks
like
real, though, right?
Mission Impossible stuff. I don't even know if it's real. What is real? We are
Thank
in the
you.
Matrix now.
Thank
what
you.
Is real? This is why I'm a cynic because
exactly.
It's the best place to be. Okay, today in stupidity. Although that right. may have been it.
Yeah, well, it could have been. But Trump was out there talking, so there's one of this. Listen to what Trump says here on how to spell us.
For us. I'm for us. You know how you spell us, right? You spell us, U.S.
Huh? Really?
I just picked that up. Has anyone ever thought of that? I just picked that up. A couple of days I'm reading, and it said us. And I said, you know... If you think about it, us equals U.S. Isn't that... Now, if we say something genius, they'll never say it.
What? What? Is there genius with that?
Are you mad? Are you mad genius? About... I think... I mean, try ask Biden how to spell us. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse over at Substack. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.